Righty all, here we are. This is episode 4 in my bird watching podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to everyone. There you are, that's for everybody all over the world. I think we've got that covered. Righty all, to start with, a couple of jokes. What do you call a chicken in a shell suit? An egg. Long pause. For those who don't know, shell suit is a tracksuit, leisure wear, etc., etc. The British will get that and they'll still not laugh, it's terrible. Right, what animal can fly underwater? Don't know, a blackbird in a submarine. Anyway, I digress. What's this one about this time? It is about twitching. I wonder how many bird watchers are cringing as soon as they hear that word because they've been called, oh, do you go twitching? Are you a twitcher? People have said that to me. Oh, right, you've taken up twitching. No, I've not. I'm more into bird watching or birding, as it's known. But, no, not twitching, although I have had a twitch. If you're confused, I'm not surprised, but here we go. I'll explain a bit. Anyway, you're a birder. You go out looking at birds, and hopefully you like them. Well, I'm assuming that's why you're listening to this. You're at a phase now where you can go out with binoculars without feeling like a spy, a pervert, or even worse, a nerd. Yep, you're comfortable with your binoculars or your bins around your neck, and you go and you think, I am a bird watcher. People aren't suspicious anymore. I mean, I think my neighbours are used to me. Oh, AOP's got his binoculars again. He's off out twitching. I'm not twitching. I know I'm explaining what all this is about, isn't it? So you've tried birding. You want to go for something extreme birding. Well, that's not birding whilst bungee jumping or parachuting and saying, oh, look at that, what is that, an Arctic turn, you know, as you're bundling out of the plane. No, you try twitching. I had a try at that. I've had two twitches in the last year. And, yep, I'm officially a twitcher, although I don't like being called a twitcher. I'm more of a birder. All these abbreviations and names and little nicknames are confusing. There are some proper twitchers out there. And, you know, they can't say that I'm not a twitcher. I'm officially a twitcher. I've not got a card, but I have been on a twitch, and I've twitched. I think I better explain a little bit more to people who don't know. So what is a twitcher? Well, you might think it's someone who's had too much coffee, and, you know, twitching is in the physical symptoms of that. You know, I like a cup of coffee, and after 6 or 7 cups, I find myself restless. But no, I'm not referring to that. What a twitcher is, it is someone who will travel the length and breadth of the country to see a rare bird. He, or she, because let's not be sexist, well, the Indiana Jones of the birding world, well, not really, no. There's no bullwhip, fedora, sidekick, mysterious artifacts, being chased by Nazis. Okay, so it's nothing like Indiana Jones, but it is an adventure. To fire off to a distant location to see a bird that might have beggared off by the time you get there, takes determination and I think it takes a lot of petrol. That has to be applauded. I don't think it's something you can do by bus or train or, well, you could, but usually it's a drop of the hat, fire off to look at this. Okay, so where did the term twitcher come from? Anyway, here's a definition. In the 1950s, there was a chap called Howard Medhurst, a British bird watcher, who had nervous behaviour that when he saw a rare bird, he got excited and he physically started twitching. You know, like kids waiting for Santa Claus, when they go to sleep, a Santa won't come and they can't help that they're just restless and, you know, physically. Anyway, that's it. So I don't know how true that is, but that's what the internet tells me. But the internet tells a lot of things, doesn't it? It does indeed. But, yeah, apparently in the 50s, Howard Medhurst, chap who twitched. Okay, carry on. The term twitcher, it is often given to people who enjoy bird watching, but it's used incorrectly. You know, not every bird watcher is a twitcher, but every twitcher is a bird watcher. I mean, let's try and explain that a bit more, because that sounds very cryptic. You can't twitch without being a bird watcher, because you're going a twitch, you know, you're going looking at birds, so you're bird watching initially. Now, a bird watcher might go on his local patch or go, his or her, sorry, might go on the local patch and go looking round at birds that they've seen before, not particular rare it is. They may see something rare, but they're not specifically going out looking for it. So there we are, the difference between a twitcher and a birder. Right, as to my twitch. Well, how far did I go and what did I see? Well, at one point last year, I went on one because I'd seen some information on a couple of birding websites, and a friend on them got in touch with me and said, let me know that there was a rare bird in our local area. It was only about 3 miles away. In Wigan, there's an area called the Wigan Flashes. Flash usually done to be the name of a gravel pit that has been flooded or some such thing, and then it gets turned into a wildlife area. Wigan's lucky to have that. It's called Wigan Flashes, and one of the flashes, or lakes, whatever you want to call it, is called Scotsman's Flash. And I've found this information on the internet, said that a red-throated diver had just landed, which is pretty rare for this part of the country. I'm trying to think whether the last one seen here was 20 years ago. Someone told me about it anyway. It is still a rarity. So what I did was I got my telescope and the tripod and my binoculars and my field guide, because I was taking my field guide anyway. I'm thinking, I've jammed up on it and had a good look, thinking I've not seen one of these before. Better see what I'm looking at. Consult the book, see what happens. And then there we are. Other essential bit of equipment was my two dogs, because I couldn't for shame to walk down that area without them. They love going there. So we got there, parked up, got out, walked along the canal, which is nearby, and there was already a couple of people there with the scope set up. One of them said, yeah, it's over there, over in the distance. And I was looking, couldn't quite see properly because the sun was there. And I thought, I'm not to worry. Asked how long it had been there. Well, it's been here a few days, so it didn't look like it was going anywhere just at the present. But I thought, I want to see this now. I wasn't physically twitching or any of that thing, because I get more excited over food than anything. And my slim waistline is testament to that. Ho-ho, there's a bit of irony there. So yeah, anyway, I carried on walking a little bit further up. I saw another chap with a scope and said, right, is it still over there? He said, no, he said, have a look, it's here. I didn't even need the binoculars to see it, it was about 10 metres away. So I still set, I have a look through his scope and I had a look through my bins or binoculars. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed by this, because I thought, this is a rare bird. Some people haven't seen one of these in the local area. So I'm pretty chuffed with this. Anyway, I had a good look for a bit, and I don't know whether twitchers get a bad deal, because you read books on bird watching, and it's often said that twitching's an easy job because everybody knows what the bird looks like at first. There's no identification skills, which I don't know, I found that a bit harsh. It shows a degree of dedication, though, doesn't it? If someone will go and travel to look at a bird and be in awe of it and say that's it. But oh no, I've seen some descriptions. They go, they look, they tick it off, and they go somewhere else. Like it's some kind of obsessive compulsive disorder. They're just doing it simply to get a tick. Tick a box. Off they go. Go and find another bird. Tick that off, tick that off. I never want to see one of those again because I've seen one. Tick, tick. Oh, look at that on your shoulder. Whoa, it's a very rare bird. I don't need to look because I've ticked it off. So I think that's a bit of bull, really, because you're not telling me someone who enjoys twitching doesn't go looking at birds as well. Because that's exactly what I did. I carried on walking. Had a look around at what other birds there were. There's usually a lot like tufted duck. Absolutely loads of moor hens at one point there. One point of the lake. Black-headed gulls. The usual suspects, we shall say. But, by no means does that make it any less interesting. If you've seen one mallard, you've seen them all. No, they're lovely birds, like having a look round the long-tailed tits flying over. Blackbird, as common as they are, my favourite birds. Love seeing them. So, yeah, I carried on walking. And there was this lady having a walk with her dad. And she said that she must have saw me with all the spying, crazy gear that I was carrying around with me, and said, excuse me, is there something going on? What's it all about? And I said, all right. I said, yeah, I said, there's a rare bird down there. I started telling her about it. What is it? Red-throated diver. Oh, has it got a red throat? Well, actually, no, not at this time of year. Oh, right. I said, oh, hang on, because you know, a bird with the name like that that doesn't match the description. I said, here, I've got my book here. Have a look. So she said, hey, Dad, have a look at this book. All right, yeah. And whereabouts is it? I said, it's down there. I said, there's a few people still looking. All right, yeah, we'll go and have a look at that. Thanks a lot. And, you know, that's a novelty. Someone who wasn't particularly a bird watcher, it would seem, you know, can go down and say, oh, I've seen such a thing today. Yeah, I might not bother with birds again, but her and her dad did seem quite interested, which will do for me. I don't mind sharing my interest. So that was it. That was my first twitch. Oh, by the way, just before I carry on, I went back there a couple of more occasions, and my wife went with me as well, so she's seen them. And the dogs have. So if the dogs had a little tick list, the dogs can tick off the fact that they've had a twitch. So nice one. The other one which I did was another local area. You know, see, I'll do anything to save on petrol, mate. And this was an area near an industrial estate where someone had got in touch and said there's a big heron-like thing there, but it's pure white. Could it be an albino? Well, I know there's albinism in birds and partial albinism. And leucistic birds, you know, the ones that are totally white, you know, well, albinistic, leucistic. Some birds can have a washed-out grey or a piebald effect, you know, due to genetic whatever. But no, it turned out I'd seen something on another website about that, and they said they thought it was a little egret. And we carried on looking, and it turned out it wasn't a little egret. So no, it wasn't a little egret, it was actually a great white egret. And yep, as you looked at it, the shape of the animal and the general characteristics, yep, the big white heron looking thing. And I thought, brilliant, seen one of these. I did add it to my list, but then, I carried on having a look round just to see what else I could see. And that's what I enjoy doing. The opportunity of seeing something rare in an area that I could go anywhere appeals to me. The thoughts of travelling from one end of the country to the other on a chase, one could say a wild goose chase. I don't know if a wild goose is a rarity, but it does seem like an apt description of the activity, but not for me. I think I'd found it very disruptive to my home life and to my budget as well. I can't afford to do things like that. And I do enough driving around in my job as a community nurse anyway. I'm always in the vehicle going from A to B, or sometimes from B to A. Depends whether I'm reversing the car or not. Yep, so no. Twitching, if it's local, I'll have a go. If it's not, not for me. But to all the people who enjoy doing that, you know, my hat off to you, if I had a hat. You know, nice one. It's dedicated. Obviously, you put a lot of time and effort into it. And so I don't think it's birding made easy, like some people say. You know, 300 people all looking at the one bird, and you say, I can see it there. I don't even need a book to look it up. But let's face it, you must be interested in birds to go and do that in the first place. Right, anyway, this is me finished, because I'm going off to the opticians now. I've got an appointment for an eye test. So my eyes have been up all night revising. Haha. No, it's not that. Keep my eyes in good nick, because I can't enjoy bird watching if my eyes aren't working properly, can I? Anyway, this has been another episode of the Bird Watching Podcast. If anyone wants to get in touch with any comments or criticisms or anything whatsoever, just email me on wigginbirdwatcher@hotmail.com. Because of my stupid accent as well, it comes out as Wigan. It's pronounced Wigan. Spell the first part. WIGANBIRDWATCHER@hotmail.com. WiganBirdWatcher@hotmail.com. Okay, so thanks for listening again. Hope you've enjoyed it. See you next time. Cheers, folks. Bye.